Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network.
If you're watching, I can feel my chair slowly going down. Can you see me? Can you see me shrinking over here?
I hadn't noticed. I hadn't done a before and after.
I'm going down a little bit at a time.
What's going on with the chair?
I don't know. It must be some sort of mechanism.
I can't tell.
You better check out PVI.com.
That's right. That's where I got this beautiful chair. Hold on.
People talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Lift it up. There you go.
Now we're good.
Now you can stand tall.
Yeah, now we're good. Good to go.
By the way, I thought I had lost an inch. Maybe I said this before based on what the physician said, but then my wife went for physical and she had lost an inch.
Ah. Shrinking.
Mm.
I think that something's off with her ruler.
Yeah,
or tape.
It could be. I mean, it's such an antiquated way of like measuring you. Can't you put like a laser on the wall as you're standing
Why
next to the wall?
Why don't we just measure JP's? I thought about this last time he was complaining about the doctor. I mean, Roger has a tape measure.
You have a tape measure on?
Let's find out how tall JP is.
You have a tape measure here?
Yeah. I think I'll put it back in my office.
Okay.
We'll see how tall he is.
Yeah, we'll measure.
Yeah, we'll take a pencil.
Yeah,
see who's right, JP or the doctor?
Yeah. Do the old pencil trick on the wall and then measure down
the height loss.
Oh, that I used to be 5'9" and now I'm 5'8".
Yeah,
but I don't think I ever was truly 5'9". Cakes and I like to list at 5'9".
I used to officially list myself as 5'9". I know I'm not.
I think I was 5'8¾".
You're probably always around 5'8".
Like back in the day,
so when he's measuring you 5'8", you really didn't lose an inch,
right? Yeah, it's devastating when short kings get
knocked down even shorter.
They get shorter measurements.
I mean,
you just can't.
Doesn't matter. But if somebody said I'm 5'7", I feel
5'8" just sounds better.
Yeah, exactly.
But
5'9" sounds even better.
5'7" is that's really kind of the cutoff point. You get it below a 5'7", then that's real short king territory. I think
I've got
like 5'8", 5'9". You can be like, I'm close to 6 feet tall.
I've got
kind of
close
neighbors.
To the average.
My next door neighbor, and then the neighbor right next to him, the father's in the house.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
Okay.
One of them's got to be about 5'4".
Okay. Short king.
Bagel boss is your neighbor.
5'4" and maybe 5'5".
Okay. Two short kings.
Shortest guys in all of Ashburn. They live right next to me.
Right.
And you got me. I look like freaking Sasquatch walking out there.
See, those guys are bitter. If they go to the doctor, if the 5'4 dude goes to the doctor and the doctor tells him, you're not 5'4 anymore, you're 5'3, then that guy's just, he's devastated.
Are your sons taller than you?
Yes, they're both taller.
Didn't it feel good when they got taller than you?
Yeah,
I felt good for my boy that he got taller than me. He's not much taller than me, but maybe an inch taller than me. I thought that was a good thing.
I didn't want my sons to be like 5'4 or 5'5. They're like 5'9 or 5'10. Which is perfect. That's great. But if you're 5'7 or below, short kid.
My next door neighbor, when he
big time short kid.
He has a Tesla.
Yeah.
And when he comes into the driveway, here's the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he can see over the steering wheel.
He can barely see
out
of the windshield.
He can barely see over
the good thing the car can drive itself.
I mean, he needs to sit on
a phone book.
He does. Like 4 phone books.
Jason loves Jonan on height.
Yeah.
No, I
just remember he used to say you don't respect anybody who's under 6 foot.
Unless they're really rich. Yeah. Unless they're loaded.
I love my neighbors.
Does he have a brick tied to his foot so he can reach the pedal?
I don't know, bro. I don't know how he drives that thing.
Big elevator platform shoes.
Yeah. Looks like he's doing the disco.
But when he pulls up into the driveway, he literally has to look up like this.
Yeah.
He can't see over the steering wheel.
See, tall guys like Jason, they shouldn't short shame us because he's
when's the last time I did that? I haven't done that.
No, I'm not saying you ever have. You've never done, not that I can remember.
Oh, he definitely has.
Like,
no, you guys.
Tall guys should not
every once in a while.
Short guys in general, maybe, but not
tall
you guys
should not short shame the short kings just because they hit the genetic lottery and are blessed with height. Like it's just
There are some negatives.
Okay, sure, there are negatives, but I think the positives clearly outweigh the negatives to being tall versus short.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, boo-hoo, I can't fit in an airplane seat. Yeah, you never fly. So what? I know, but what
about tall guys who fly twice a week or once a week?
Okay.
And they hate it.
Okay. You know what? Sorry, Wemby. Oh, sorry. You have to fly a bunch. You're 7'5", and you're going to make $500 million. Advantage, tall guy.
All right, that's one guy. All right.
Okay, you went to the extreme with Wemby.
Alex
Yeah, if you're talking about professional players. Okay, yes, talking about guys who are 6'4", 6'5", that just work in an office. Mm-hmm. And if they have to travel, you know, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
They hate that.
Well, they just spend the extra $40 to get the bonus leg room, and they're good. Well, they're good to go.
I'm just saying there are some negatives.
Yeah, he's had
a lot
to deal
of positives,
with,
but
he's
some
had to deal with the nickname Lurch.
Right.
Yeah, just Lurch.
Tall. That is true.
He's hated it so much, he's tried to bring Bish back.
Yeah. Bish
Bucks. No, I did. It's back.
You have brought Bish back.
Yeah, Lurch is gone.
I didn't think it would happen, but you've made it happen.
Lurch, he gone.
You willed it into existence. Good for you.
I never really thought about this, Cakes, but when we were growing up, a lot of our friends were pretty much the same height. We used to play hoops in Frazier's backyard. He was about 5'9". Yeah. Stumper's shorter. Our boy Matt Z was about our height. Mm-hmm. Do you think we gravitated to people of the same height?
I'll tell you.
Because we were all, like, outside of EB, we would play in the backyard of Frazier's. 3-on-3, 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
EB was like a giant.
Yeah.
He was like 6'1".
I had my real...
Everybody else was 5'10 or under.
My real eye-opener was when I went to Towson, when I went to college. And my setup was, we lived in a dorm where it was... two people in one room, share a bathroom. It was like a suite. My roommate is 6'1". I'm next to basketball players. One of them is 6'9". The other guy's, first guy's 6'2". The next guy to move in was my guy, Chuck. He's 6'6".
Chucky.
And I just walked around. I just felt
How tall was Scott? Scott
was like 6'9". Yeah, he's a monster. I just felt like... I felt like Kyler Murray.
You were like the team mascot when you guys went out.
Yeah, I just felt like Kyler Murray, like a short king, just walking around with all these giants.
Right. You were like their little buddy when you would go out to the bars.
But you did it. I mean, you had to do it.
Yeah, I did it, but I was like, man, I was like, I'm surrounded by redwoods here. Like, what is happening here?
All right,
I had to take off my shoes.
Yeah. Oh,
by the way,
shoes, JP.
Can we do the official to see if I'm taller or Cakes is taller?
Well, I think you've got
I used to be taller.
I mean, we can measure both of us.
Well, Cakes is conceding, so we can just do JP.
Yeah, that's fine. That works.
All right, you got your shoes off.
Yeah. Socks off.
Socks off.
Socks off.
All right. Good posture. Good posture. Straight up.
He's got to be against a wall, right? Isn't that the way it's usually
done? Wall's probably
better. Yeah, that's standard.
All right.
You get a pencil, put a mark on the...
You just...
Here's
a pen.
All right, JP getting measured in the door frame of the studio. We'll see if his doc is a hack.
All right, you're good.
Try to figure out the height.
Press that pencil down.
Yeah.
Measure his hair.
I'm gonna say 5'9". I'm gonna say he sneaks in.
Nah.
No.
Say just over 5'8".
With the shoes off, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5'8" ish.
Let's see. 68.5 inches.
That's 5'8.5.
5'8.5. Sub 5'9.
5'8.5, but you're not
round up.
Yeah, you're 5'9.
You round up.
You're not in short king territory. You're good. You're good to go.
There you go.
So what does it say on your license?
I think 5'8".
Okay, so you're legit.
I think. I might have fudged the 5'9". Let me see. Let's see the license. 5'8". 5'8". Nubs.
Nubby. You think you're 5'7.5" without the shoes?
Probably. Yeah. Most likely.
Funny. All right, so there you go. You're 5'8.5".
Congrats.
Doctors. Pathetic.
Yeah.
The doctor was wrong. All right, we got to hit the skins here. Hit the skins brought to you by?
Hit the skins brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Then sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. Don't Sleep makes you great, in case you didn't know. I believe we're going to lead off with some audio of one of the corners from the Cincinnati Bengals, who didn't have some very good things to say about Cliff Kingsbury and the scheme and what he's seen out of the Commanders as he's reviewing tape to get ready for Week 3 of the NFL as they face the Commanders on Monday Night Football.
Bulletin board material?
Potentially.
The anchor pose, they don't make him do a lot. So they keep it really simple for him. Nice college offense. Kingsbury, the OC. So, you know, love to move guys around here and there. But, you know, just keep it real simple for him. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only going short routes, you know. Some intermediate stuff, quick throws. Make sure on the outside that we're, you know, winning our one-on-ones at the end of the day, you know, because, you know, he's, like I said, yeah, he can stretch the plays and extend them, so, you know, we got the faster as well.
I saw a statistic yesterday.
Was that Dax Hill or was that Cam Taylor Britt?
That was Taylor Britt who had that.
Who had an unbelievable pick, a one-handed pick.
Yeah. I saw a statistic yesterday that Washington has thrown passes behind the line of scrimmage on 39% of their completions, which leads the NFL by far. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what he's really referring to is they're watching the film and they're just seeing all that sideways passing and not much downfield. Now, I did see a breakdown yesterday, all this discussion this week about Terry McLaurin, and I saw a breakdown where he is actually getting open.
Is he?
Just balls haven't been thrown to him.
He's just missing them, yeah, okay.
I mean, we know that he missed them on that long bomb, but there were moments in this game where maybe Jaden was pressured, but Terry McLaurin was running free in the end zone, and then Jaden decided to run.
Right.
And that, look, he's a young quarterback, rookie quarterback.
He's probably
and that may be his default now.
Yeah.
It might be his default that once he feels a little pressure,
he scoots.
His eyes go down and he takes off.
You know what that audio clip is? That's bait. He's baiting Jaden into thinking he can't throw deep. So right. Jaden's going to throw deep.
Yeah.
And that's probably what the Bengals are hoping that he does.
You know, well, Jaden's going to throw his first pick, I feel like, Monday night.
You feeling that?
I'm feeling
on
his
a
first
deep throw?
Pick.
That's probably a good bet.
I could see it happening.
I could see it.
I think he's saying that for a reason.
He could be.
He's playing mind games.
Well, I hope Cam Taylor Britt can tackle, and I hope he's ready for a physical game, because if the Bengals' defense looks anything like it has in the first 2 weeks, you think the Commanders aren't just going to try to shove it on them on the ground throughout the game?
That's exactly
what
they're
averaging nearly 160 rushing yards allowed through the first two games. So you're going to see a healthy dose, again, of B-Rob, of Jaden. I think you maybe up Eckler's rushes, too.
I think the scarier
on the flip, but on the flip side, since Washington's defense run defense isn't that good either.
Right.
That's what, you know, Zach Moss and Chase Brown are going to do.
Yeah, but the scary thing is T. Higgins is starting to practice.
Right.
Yeah, I assume he's going to be back.
And they might have to face Chase and Higgins.
You know what? Mike Gesicki's been pretty effective.
He's been pretty good.
Through the first 2 weeks.
Wasn't Dave Richard down on Gesicki
for
this week?
I don't know if he was for this week.
I think he was.
If Higgins comes back.
If Higgins came back, yeah.
But did he say, he had him ranked third out of Pitts and Andrews and Gesicki. And then didn't he also say maybe pick up Hunter Henry?
Yeah,
did he say that?
He did
say
that.
I think he did, yeah.
He said Henry would be a viable candidate more than Gesicki.
I picked up Henry a few days before Dave doled out that advice, and I'm not blaming Dave. Like, Hunter Henry, look at the targets he had heading into that game. He was by far the most targeted guy on that Patriots offense through two games. They just ran into a buzzsaw defense, and Jacoby Brissett couldn't deliver the ball to him.
Jaden Daniels' passing yardage prop on FanDuel, 200.5.
Oof.
Passing touchdowns, Daniels over a half, so one, minus 270.
I feel like he's due to throw a pick and due to throw a touchdown.
What's his rushing prop?
All right, his rushing prop.
55. 48.5.
Pretty good, 46.5.
Okay.
I'll go over that.
Brian Robinson, 53.5.
Oh, I would smash the button a million times on that.
Yeah. But Jaden Daniels is 46.5.
I think you might see an Austin Eckler 50-yard swing pass, take it to the house type of performance.
Total receptions props, player props. Jamar Chase, what do you think it is?
8.5.
6.5.
Ooh.
Terry McLaurin.
4.5.
3.5.
Okay.
Zach Ertz.
3.5.
2.5. Gesicki, 2.5. Brian Robinson, 1.5. And I don't see Eckler.
We have a lot of prop bets.
Will I?
This weekend? Yeah.
I don't know if I'll have a lot.
I did a four-leg parlay last night. How do you think this went? Garrett Wilson over in catches.
All right, loser.
Garrett Wilson over in yardage.
Loser.
Hunter Henry over in catches.
Loser.
Hunter Henry over in yardage.
Loser, yeah.
I took the collar.
Spectacular loss.
It's just,
but you know what?
Down in flames.
You can hit on our touchdown parlay coming up later this hour. We'll do that.
Love to hit on that.
Coming up at 7:45 here on the Junkies. Jason, do you think your neighbors will get a hold of what you said? Short shaming them? Because a couple people
probably
have tweeted and go, man, Jason is just short shaming and dunking on his neighbors.
No, I love my guy. I love my neighbors.
They know they're short.
Yeah, they know it. they're not surprised.
They're not dumb. They know what the score is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all good.
They're great people. I love them.
Yeah.
They talk about it.
Just
too.
Vertically challenged.
Yeah, they just talk
That's
about
all.
It.
No big deal.
So we talked about this yesterday, that Adrian Wojnarowski, who was the lead ESPN NBA insider, especially when it comes to trades and breaking news, has decided to leave ESPN. What we didn't know was how much money he was being paid.
I know.
ESPN was paying him north of $7 million a year.
It's a lot of dough.
Isn't that nuts? I would have never guessed it was that high.
No. I would have thought that he was like, maybe he makes $2 million, $2.5
million, yeah, I would
something
have guessed
along
somewhere
those lines.
In there.
I don't even think he's on TV nearly the amount that you see a lot of these other guys on TV.
Right.
Like, if he's making $7 million, what does Mike Greenberg make?
Oh, I have no idea.
Greeny's
probably making
10?
Yeah.
12?
10, something in that range.
I know Stephen A. Smith apparently wants 20 or 25 million a year.
Right.
Yeah, but Woj is one of the most important personalities.
I mean, I agree. I'm just saying I don't see him.
There's
that
a lot
much.
Of Greenbergs out there. Woj was the best of the best,
right,
as far as breaking news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he left because just the sheer volume of work, the time involved, and he wanted to settle down. Now, I'm sure his new gig, where he's going to be the GM, right?
At St.
General manager of St. Bonnie's, the basketball team.
I'm sure that's going to be a stressful position to an extent, but he's decided quality of life is more important.
Right.
Than grinding for that money. Let's be honest.
And he doesn't need the money anymore.
I'm going to guess the St. Bonaventure gig pays him handsomely, too, but probably not to the tune of $7 million per year.
Not even close.
I would guess it's a $1 million a year position, maybe a little bit more. Maybe there are some incentives there, too, as far as like fundraising for the program, NIL tie-ins.
I'd be surprised if it was that high.
You don't think?
St. Bonnie's can afford
just,
to pay
they
someone.
They don't have a lot of money.
I don't know if they can afford to pay $1 million or $1.5 million.
But Cakes does bring up
a good
point.
I mean, it's not
point.
Like it's Kansas.
He's banked that $7 million for several years
now.
He has a nice war chest, I would think, at this point.
And I don't know his family situation.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
How old is Woj? Is he like mid-50s? Is he
I think he's
close
our age.
To our age?
I want to say he's 55.
Okay.
So it does beg the question, though. How much money would you need to endure a job that is getting to you?
Right. It's just stresses
that
you out.
Hate. Now, I'm not saying that he hated his job, but obviously he's chosen to leave it for reasons that don't have to do with the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he was just working too much, stressed too much.
Travel.
I brought this up when we first talked about it. Adam Schefter said, when you're in that type of position, that it takes over your life. Schefter all the time has two phones on the set.
Like when he could be on vacation, but he's never really like on vacation. Like he's at the beach. He's got his two phones. Like
what do you think Schefter makes?
Oh, he makes. I mean, if Woj is making seven, I mean Schefter has to be making more than that because he's covering the NFL.
That's the NFL, right?
I would put him at $10 million or more.
So the average salary for a general manager at a Division I university is between. $130,000 and $170,000.
Really, it's that low.
Just put him on the high end.
I mean,
he's
it's
making
college.
Less than $200,000.
Wow, that's a massive.
I mean, that's mid-major college hoops. It's not like he's going to Kansas or Carolina.
Right.
So he's 55. I don't know if he has any kids. He actually was only with ESPN for 6 or 7 years.
Yes,
because he was Yahoo Sports before that. But it does beg the question: what would it take?
He got a massive payday for however many years with ESPN.
He's got plenty of money.
Yeah.
What would it take for you to leave this gig? You work with your buddies.
Yep.
You've been doing it for
Well, what's you have to tell me what I'm doing.
29 years.
What am I doing instead?
Something that you don't like.
Like what? Give me an example.
You're back at Toys R Us.
I'm back at Toys R Us.
If it even exists anymore.
You're a manager at the Toys R Us.
Oh, it's a soul-crushing job.
60 hours a week, 50 to 60 hours a week.
How much would it take for me to take that gig?
Yeah. Yes.
$2 million.
Holy guacamole.
I mean, if you're asking what it would take for me
you'd
to
rather
go back.
So you need that much of a jump.
Yeah. $2 million, and I'm back slinging Teddy Ruxpins and Power Rangers and Tickle
Me
Elmo.
It would take me less than that. $1 million.
What was the last job you had right before the Junkies? I know you had a couple part-timers.
I was the courier. Remember, I was running courier work.
Okay, so you're a full-time courier.
I was a full-time courier.
You're a gym.
Driving all over the place.
Like all over D.C., right?
I would drive to Richmond.
Oh, man. That's...
I would drive to Baltimore.
Now, were you getting paid per delivery? Like how is the pay?
Per delivery.
And the further you went, the more you got paid, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like if you're driving to Richmond, you better be getting paid more than driving into D.C.
Yeah, because the company would charge the client more for the longer drive.
Yeah.
And then some of them were priority. They called them priority drives.
Okay, right.
And those were like triple the price.
Did you have to drive faster for those?
Well, I had to get there. This needs to get there by 4 o'clock. All right. Get there. So I would get paid more for that.
Yeah.
That job sucked.
Right. So it's a job that sucks.
Yeah.
You said it wouldn't take $2 million. What's it going to take for you to take the job that sucks?
$1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah. $1 million a year. You know what your paychecks would be if you were making $1 million a year?
They'd be fat.
Yeah, they'd be fat ass checks.
Big ones.
That would be guaranteed to have the job for several years.
JP, that's what it would take for me to take. I can't even remember the name of the machine, but it's almost like a mini forklift that you would have to bring into the truck to jack up the pallets filled with toys on the truck, drag it out of the truck and put it into the warehouse, and then direct my minions to go stock the shelves out on the toy floor. You think that was fun? You think that was fun when the truck pulled in and it was 90 degrees outside and you had to go into the truck with my short sleeve dress shirt and my tie? Right. You think that was fun?
I know it
that wasn't fun.
That was not fun. I can tell
I
you
was
that.
Basically,
I think I'm going to go
JP,
below
I
you.
Was, I was basically an Amazon driver.
Yes.
Just I wasn't just driving. But at least I wasn't driving a truck. I was driving my car.
Right. Hey, while you were driving around for $1 million, you could listen to us do the Junkies.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I say to myself, man, those guys are just so stupid. What are they
so
talking about?
When we're talking about, you know, duty, he'd be like, they miss me.
I haven't heard EB in 5 minutes. Must be pooping again.
Yeah, but he'd get the last laugh because he's making a milli.
Yeah.
Delivering packages to Roanoke.
So my last job, I almost forgot. So my first summer, I worked for a judge.
Mm-hmm.
My second summer, I actually worked for the Equal Opportunity Commission right by Union Station.
Okay.
I almost remember nothing about that job.
Right.
I don't remember you one colleague. It. I don't remember anything other than all I would think about is I would show up in my suit and tie. All right? I'd have to wear a suit and tie. I would show up, and all I would do is with the colleagues who I don't remember, which is terrible. Hopefully they're not listening. Is I would just think about, where are we going for lunch?
Right.
That was it. It was a typical
all you care about.
Office job in a cubicle. Where are we
it
going for lunch?
It would take me $2 million to go back to Toys R Us. I don't even know if I've talked about this job ever, because I had this job for one day. To go back
I don't
to
remember
this,
a one-day job. I remember
back,
most of your jobs. You used to work close to Annapolis at that restaurant that had the windmill.
Sure.
What was the name of that spot?
Well, when I
Red Hot
there,
and Blue?
Well, I worked there pre-Red Hot and Blue. When I worked there, it was called Texas Steaks and Barbecue.
Okay.
That was like a mom and pop shop.
He was a cook.
Was that in Bowie?
No, it was like Annapolis.
It was going towards the bridge.
On 50 before
it was going
you get
the
to the Bay Bridge.
Yeah, like 450.
Off to the right.
No, it was on 50. It was like near Cape St. Clair.
Yeah, yes. Right off from the right.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
I worked there. I wasn't good enough to work the grill, so I was the
prep cook.
Stooge prep cook.
Right.
So they're like if you ordered like an open-faced like roast beef sandwich, I would slop that together and give it to the servers. Here's the job that would take me $10 million to go back to. And I did
$10 million.
I did this job for one day, and I knew that this job sucked, and I was not cut out for it. The donks who come in and do inventory. Mm. You know, have you ever seen them? Like, they've got like a little calculator on their hip, and they're walking through a store, and they're going, they're typing in like however many Crest toothpaste boxes there are. They're doing inventory on the whole store. I did that one day, and I quit.
This was just mind-numbing.
You just said, I'm done. Yeah.
I didn't even get...
Plus, there was math involved, which you're not good at.
I didn't even get paid. I hated that gig so much, I didn't even try to get my one day's worth of pay, which probably would have been, I don't know, $30. This is probably 30-plus years ago.
You bounced.
Did that for one day.
It was too much for you.
I said, I'm never doing this again.
Well, EB, who's not here.
Never, ever, ever.
We worked at Jasper's.
Yeah.
All right, which was
I remember
a Jasper's. Nice restaurant in Greenbelt.
Yeah.
And I worked as a waiter. My boy Frazier worked there as a waiter. I think Dr. Z worked there as a waiter. Like, a bunch of us worked there. And we had to do 3 days of training.
Hmm. I would label it an okay restaurant. I don't know if I'd call it a nice restaurant. That's kind
whatever.
Of a front compared to nice restaurant.
Compared to a restaurant.
Maybe like
a
it was like a maybe a step above
like a Fridays.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a step above Fridays.
I remember Jasper's.
It's like Flingers in office
it was in,
space.
Yeah. Jasper's, was that in Crofton?
It was in Greenbelt, in Beltway Plaza.
I thought there was one in Crofton.
Beltway Plaza, there was El Torito.
What was the restaurant that was in Crofton that was pretty popular?
There was a Jasper's there.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
That was the second location. But right. I worked at the one in Greenbelt.
Yep, I remember that one.
But you had to do 3 days of training. And everybody hated it because you just wanted to start making money, right? And training, you would first get like one table. Mm-hmm. You'd trail an experienced waiter. Then the next day you might get two tables. They bump you to three. And then eventually you'd get your section, right? Where you can make, you know, $100.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck it was. EB asked for another day of training because he said it was too hairy.
Well, he's a scatterbrain.
And then he quit because he said it was too stressful.
It was too hard.
He couldn't handle the menu. He couldn't handle running around, getting the drinks.
Pretty hard to get people potato skins.
Well, Jasper's in particular was particular about the type of glasses. So if somebody ordered a vodka tonic, you had to give them rocks glass. If they ordered something else, you had to. Yeah, there was a lot involved there. Mm-hmm. It was like a 30-page menu.
Meanwhile, high school dropouts and burners are out smoking cigarettes and weed in the parking lot and are able to handle the job just fine.
Yes. I'm surprised you don't know Beltway Plaza. You kind of grew up close to there.
No,
Kangaroo Katie's was the other spot there.
Yeah, I remember that. For some reason, I just thought the Jasper's was only in Crofton.
Yeah.
But now I do remember it was in Beltway Plaza.
So I don't need
there
a million.
There were some popular spots in Beltway
if
Plaza.
If I went back to the EEOC, the job, which I don't remember anything about, I had to put a suit and tie and drive into work. Get on 50 and just deal with the traffic. Hey, I don't know. Give me 750.
If anybody out there wants to hire me to do inventory, $10 million. Come and get me. I can be your inventory specialist. I'll go count all the boxes in your back room. I'll probably count them incorrectly, but I'll do it. For the bargain basement price, $10 million.
What was the best part of your Toys R Us gig?
The best
was
part.
There a best part?
Let me see if I can scan the memory banks if there was a best part.
Did you like anything about that job?
The best part was probably the smoke breaks outside the building. I mean, that's the best thing I can come up with.
The smoke breaks.
I just drag Marlboro lights right down to the filter.
And yet you were there. I'm just trying to get inside your head. So you were there for four and a half years.
I wasn't a heavy smoker. But
pretty heavy.
Probably at my peak. Like a half pack a day.
That's pretty heavy.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out. So you can't think of one thing you liked except for the smoke break. And you were there for 4.5 years. Did you interview for any other jobs during that time? This is why we call them box.
No. Right. I was just
so literally the junkies. EB always says the junkies saved Kevin's life. Mm-hmm. We saved this guy's life.
I was resigned to my lot
so,
in life.
Yeah, he was so unimaginative. He hated his job. For 4.5 years.
Yeah.
He has a college degree.
You did.
And he was just
it.
Willing hated to just it. Stay yeah. with it.
I think I interviewed for one other gig.
Were you making hourly or salary?
Salary.
What, 20 grand?
It was nubs. I think my first salary coming out of college was like 22.5.
Yeah.
22.5. Terrible.
But I remember.
Well, we hit the lottery.
I remember when we got offered the job for WJFK full-time at night. We had that meeting, and then we went to Jason's house, and we're sitting on the back deck. And Jason and I knew we were in.
A lot of pondering.
Jason and I were in.
Cakes was
already married, and he was lamenting his 401k.
Yeah, I had like 25k.
He's like, I don't know if I can leave Toys R Us.
Dude, I was punting away 25 large when I was, I don't know, late 20s at that point.
Not late 20s, you're 24,
okay,
25.
Mid to late 20s, whatever. Yeah. That's a sizable chunk of money when you're that young. Yeah. Like, it's not easy to just part with $25,000. You want to part with $25,000 now?
Hell no. Right. ain't happening.
Right. Rewind when you're like 24 or 25. But then I was like, oh, I can do this dumb job anytime. Punt. Let's go. Let's do this.
Worked out.
I think it worked out. Worked out for the best.
Our touchdown parlay worked out in week one. Not so much in week two.
We're coming back this week.
But we're ready to get it back next. Our touchdown parlay here on the Junkies. Welcome back on a Football Friday. Time now for our touchdown parlay. We put our heads together, and we try and find guys who are going to find the end zone.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal. That's what we need.
Hit it in week one. Didn't hit it last week. Got a question. Last week we went with, in week one we went with four, and in week one, Trab and Valdez said that they were going to combine for one. Have we now expanded it so everybody who's here, so it could be a six
That's
or seven
correct.
Way
we're
parlay?
Doing six leg parlay.
Six layer.
Okay.
Yep. EB is out. Everybody has an individual pick this week. Six legs. Too short of an octopus. Six. So last time I checked, an octopus has eight legs.
A lot of animal talk today.
A lot of animal talk. That's true.
All right, let's rock and roll.
All right, spin the wheel.
Koala's a marsupial, a panda's a bear.
All we're doing is enlightening people, JP. Right.
And an octopus has
Mike
eight
Moore.
Tentacles. Sounded like he was getting bullied. I walked by during the break, and he's like, are you sticking with your gut, or did the boys talk you out
you got,
of whatever
Mike
you
Moore,
wanted to go
what you
with?
Got?
No, it's all right. I had two, and we ended up going with the one with, like, you know, a little bit juicier odds. Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown, plus 125. Kelce only has four catches for 39 yards through two games. I mean, this guy's big time overdue. I was looking at some stats from last year. Through two games last year, he had about 15 catches, two touchdowns. So very overdue. Chiefs are averaging 320 yards of offense so far this season. Falcons are allowing 320 yards. Kelce's going to find his way to the end zone. Unfortunately, we'll have to watch a lot of Taylor Swift on TV.
All right, so you're in. Very good.
Is that a home game? No, it's in Atlanta.
It's in the dome in Atlanta.
That's a Sunday night game?
Yep.
All right, you are in for T. Kelce.
T. Kelce, I like the price, plus 125.
All right, I'll go next. I was going to – I looked at Josh Jacobs just because he's getting a ton of carries.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 48 carries in two games, which is – I think it's second to Stevenson in the league.
And Marshawn Lloyd just went on the IR too.
Yeah.
So there's just not a lot of bodies there to hand the ball off to.
There's not. And the Packers are playing the Titans on the road. That was my initial gut. Now, Jacobs does have a lot of carries, but he hadn't scored yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Love's going to play. I think it's going to be Malik Willis again. So I think he's going to get a lot of carries, but I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. So I'm off of Jacobs.
Okay.
Now watch. He'll probably score.
You considered Jacobs.
I considered him. Now, last week I had James Conner. And James Conner, if you look at his game logs... In the first game against Buffalo, he had 16 carries, 50 yards, scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Last week when we had him against the Rams, they killed the Rams. They win 41-10. He had 21 carries for buck 22. This is a home game, scored a touchdown. All right. He'll get some targets in the passing game. I just think, and they're playing the Lions this week at home. Now, the Lions have been pretty good against the run.
They've been pretty stout.
But both of their games have been at home. Now they're traveling out to Arizona. I think it's going to be kind of a shootout. I think they're going to score. I'm going back to James Conner to score against the Lions. He's minus 115. Jacobs was minus 150. So I like Conner. I think he's going to get probably in that 20 carry range.
Yep.
And I like him to score. So I'll go James
Conner. All right. Yeah.
Again.
He should be heavily involved. I think that's a good play. All right. Spin the wheel. Who's up next?
All right, Matt Cahill.
All right, this quote got me sized. talking about a starting running back here. This is what the coach said.
Yes.
Our goal is to get him 20-plus touches with him. That was the goal this week. It didn't happen. That is going to be the goal this upcoming week and every week while he is, and he is the starting running back, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. He's talking about Zamir White. Now, look, it's been a rough go starting the season, mm-hmm. but all week, and Pierce has been talking about the offensive line
right.
every day, saying we got to figure it out. We're gonna pound the ball.
Yep.
So they play the Panthers, right?
Yep.
Correct.
At home.
He's in Vegas.
I've never felt better about a touchdown. They want Zamir. He said it's not Zamir.
Yeah.
It's the offensive line. We're gonna get right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gonna get a 6-pointer on Sunday.
Okay. I like it. Yes. I mean, they should have a lead in that game, and that plays right into the wheelhouse of keep feeding Zamir White the rock. I like it.
Yeah, because Zamir, they played their first two games on the road against pretty good run defenses, mm-hmm. and he had 9 carries for 24 and 13 for 44.
And nobody would accuse
him. But now he's coming back home playing a bad team.
Correct.
I like it.
All right, spin the wheel. We're halfway there.
Mr. Myers. Me.
All right. My touchdown play, my tutty play for this weekend mm-hmm. is CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
To reach the end zone against the Ravens. The Ravens, I believe, are the second worst pass defense in all of the NFL. Oof. I think they're top 5 in rush defense, but second worst in the past two games. They've had a 100-yard receiver in week 1 and in week 2. Davante Adams torched Stevens and Marlon Humphrey. Humphrey looks butt slow. Nate Wiggins is still limited after his car crash and his concussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. This team's given up a lot of yards, a lot of TDs in the air. I can see CeeDee Lamb getting to the end zone. I like it for 2 touchdowns, but it'll just do 1 for the parlay.
All right, so you see a liftoff for 1 CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, so you see the Ravens.
Weekend.
You see the Ravens losing going 0-3. That's what you see.
Yes.
Could be.
That's a big one. All right, so you're in for CD to score. So we got 2 left. Mr. Flamack.
So I was looking at
Mr. Flamack's very tired because
statistics.
He went to see Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Play 20 minutes last night.
The Indianapolis Colts cannot stop running backs mm-hmm. right now. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. He ran for 151 against the Colts. Well, mm-hmm. the week before that, they gave up 159 to Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
They take on a Bears team that hasn't been able to run the football. If you were able to look at their leading rusher right now, it's Caleb Williams. But their leading running back is DeAndre Swift.
He's been a dud.
He's been a dud so far, but he did find the end zone in week 1. I think he wakes up, finds the end zone this week. He's going against a team that cannot stop the run. So I think he'll put up some big numbers, and he will find the end zone.
Yep.
Give me DeAndre Swift.
No
in the touchdown parlay.
Either. That's going to be tough for the Colts.
What are my Swift odds?
You're at plus 105 for DeAndre Swift to find the end zone.
DeAndre Swift is averaging 2 yards per carry.
That is especially gross.
Yeah.
That is not fun.
All right. So that just leaves cakes.
All right. Before the show started, Drab came in and saw my pick, and he made this face. He went, ugh. So I wanted to pivot. I'm going back to my original pick, even though Drab doesn't love it. I'm picking his guy, Zach Charbonnet, who's stepping in for Kenneth Walker. Now, you look at his yards per carry in the last game against the New England Patriots, it's pretty gross. I believe he was 14 carries for a whopping total of 37 yards. But he did score in that game.
We don't care about yards,
Cakes. We
don't
care. We couldn't care less about yards. Here's what else I like about Charbonnet. He has multiple avenues to get to the end zone. He had 5 grabs also in the game, the overtime win against the Patriots. So I feel like he can either grab one from Geno and run it in, or he can plunge one in from 1 or 2 yards out. He's at plus 100. I just think he's going to find the end zone with Kenneth Walker sidelined with, oh, I have an oblique injury. I can't play this weekend. So Zach Charbonnet should get the lion's share of the carries there in Seattle. I think he finds the end zone. That's my pick. Zach Charbonnet.
All right.
Exactly a household name, but he will get the starter call this weekend.
All right, give us the payoff.
All right, we have a 6-leg parlay. Zach Charbonnet, James Conner, DeAndre Swift, CeeDee Lamb, Travis Kelce, Zamir White, all to score a tutty on Sunday. If they all do, our $10 wager pays $622.38. By my math, that's a little over a hundo per person. Not bad. Not bad if it hits. We'll take it.
I think we got a good shot.
That's our touchdown parlay.
Already we're 1 for 2. Hopefully at the end of the year, not 1 for 18 or whatever it is.
Hey, trail it. Put a few shekels on it. See what happens.
All right, we'll put that up on our Instagram page. Give us a follow there at Sports Junkies Radio and on our Twitter page at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.